Hi, I'm Sean Healy, and you're listening to Tools. Hi everyone, Sean Healy, personal change agent here, and you're listening to Sean Healy Tools. In particular, episode 44. This is a podcast series designed to support entrepreneurial couples, people in business partnership, and anyone looking for more tips, tools, and strategies to add to the quality of your life. So welcome to episode 44, entitled Moving Towards Functional Adult. I thought this was a really powerful one to do. It's inspired by the work of the amazing Pia Melody, who is an absolute legend in the recovery, addiction, codependency community. Her contributions in terms of her teaching methodologies and her books are just absolutely profound. And I thought I'd share some of the elements of this around what it is to, in recovery work, in healing work, when we create, we're more and more creating this space of the internal functional adult, this internal nurturing kind of parent, this place of safeness and stability within us, especially for those of us that have experienced developmental wounding and we have developmental maturity issues. You might notice that my voice, compared to some episodes, wavering a little bit. I find it fascinating that I'm having some very strong physical somatic-based responses to putting this episode out, right through to tightness and congestion in my body, because to create an episode like this triggers elements of shame in me. I'm not entirely sure where to link that shame to, but I think in certain areas. And so normally I wouldn't record episodes where I cough through it or anything like that, but I'm doing my best to embrace my imperfection and love myself in the face of who I am, both the things that I do well and the things that I don't. And just be vulnerable enough to allow my body and myself to work through whatever bringing this episode up has done for me. In order to embrace our inherent sense of worth, we need to be working through some of the toxic shame that we've taken on throughout the course of our life. And shame relies on secrecy and hiding and a sense that we inherently aren't worth enough. Why would I be doing an episode on functional adult? And why not? It's still something I'm working on. It's still something I'm inspiring to be. And again, my apologies. Wow. I'm fascinated by just how interesting it is to be putting this episode together. And like I said, I'm just doing what I can to embrace my own imperfections, because I can be stunningly critical on myself and very hard on the areas in which I fall short. So let's look at a couple of things in this episode around functional adult. The first one is that continuing to move towards the functional adult space is that we more and more are able to connect into our own inherent worth, that we're able to see that just because we breathe in and out and we're able to feel, just because we are alive, that's enough. That's enough. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to prove anything. There's not a certain way to act. There's just inherent nature in my aliveness, and that life moves through my body and expresses itself in the ways that it does. And that's enough. That's enough for me to be inherently valuable. And that I'm learning throughout the course of my life to become healthily vulnerable again, because I have swung to survive elements of my childhood you know, I've swung between being completely invulnerable and then being hyper vulnerable. And so coming into a place where one of the things that we're doing as we're more and more learning how to develop our psychological maturity, recover from our attachment wounds, perhaps if you've experienced abuse or substandard parenting and neglect, that we're figuring out some of the things that we didn't have. We didn't have the kinds of role models we needed in certain areas. You know, we're natural modelers. We're natural. Part of our the makeup of our survival is we can really suck up and emulate. Sometimes, unfortunately, with great effectiveness, the role models around us, and we begin to kind of do what they do and be as they be, and nobody's there in the early days to offer discernment to the young child as they begin to take on board what they do, whether or not the things that they're taking on are functional, where we haven't seen role models necessarily for healthy vulnerability, we haven't seen models for healthy moderation, we haven't seen role models that teach us how to be boundaried in a healthy way. And so part of the challenge of the functional adult space is that, you know, this is something that when we go into this space and we come out of our adaptions, we recognize the things that we're doing that don't necessarily support us anymore, that sometimes what that means is that we can come into a space of groundlessness, confusion, because we're not sure what to be if we're not being our adapted mechanisms. And so in that case, we're holding space, we're seeking counsel, trusted, safe counsel, and we're also figuring out for ourselves what that might look like for us. We're exploring the world in a different kind of way. And as I say, sometimes one of the things that comes up when we decide that we're going to begin to create and foster within ourselves this sense of the functional, you know, the metaphoric functional adult. We do a thing. It's a verb more than it's not necessarily a place. It's a way of kind of being and doing. It's adulting. It's functional adulting. It's what we're doing moment to moment. And sometimes we're going to do that effectively, and sometimes we're not. And then we have to still find ways to be loving, compassionate, and connected to ourselves, regardless of whether we're quote unquote hitting the mark. Hey, I'm in my functional adulting zone. How fantastic. But we can stay equally as loving and connected to self when we're not able, for whatever reason, to be able to temporarily reach that space. as I say, you can certainly tell, I think, just how much somatic kind of loading there is in my body. Again, like I said, all I can do is continue to own that and work through that on part of my journey, because I certainly still to this day struggle with elements of moderacy. I still struggle to stay connected to myself and to my value. And I'm doing the best I can with what I have, and I'm continuing to learn and explore. And largely through my work with others, I'm very fortunate because I get to understand more about me while I'm supporting other people in their journey through business or their personal lives. So I've got myself in that regard into a very fortunate position, and I feel very blessed to be present with people and to share in their life experiences and to support them on their journey. And as I say, that adds to mine. So the other thing that we're looking at in terms of, you know, as I say, we're doing what we can to get into a space where more and more readily we can drop into our connected sense of our inherent worth. We are recognizing that the strengths that we have in our life, as Pia said, these things are here to help make our journey easier. They're not there necessarily to create a sense of false esteem or better than. And, because I can do this, I'm better than you, this one up, one down kind of dynamic. And the areas in which we have difficulty, and we all have them, these are, you know, we're not using those points of challenge to evoke in ourselves a sense of less than. Oh, look at this person. They're so much better at managing money than me. I must be worthless. Or this person seems to be so much better at attracting the people into relationship, and I can't seem to get into one. You know, there's all these ways in which we can use our difficulties to unesteem the self, that we can use this to foster a sense of less than, and that we're making sure that we're doing what we can to stay out of that pattern, that we're not using our weaknesses as a way of attempting to detract from our inherent value, because in effect that's not possible. So we're recognizing the ways we're operating that are leading us closer towards getting more and more into the habit of entering this space of functional adult and being able to sit in a strong, stable, untriggered place while we deal with others. We find we're able to explore healthy vulnerability. We're able to stay in that without getting triggered by others. We're able to develop a sense of tolerance with boundaries around some of the behaviors that we're doing or others are doing around us. And over time, there's this capacity to develop more and more this sense of psychological maturity, because the more we can develop our sense of psychological maturity, the greater the relationships we're going to have, the primary one being the one with ourself. But we are not kind of independent in the world. We are counter-dependent. We are learning to be able to embrace healthy interdependence. How do we come from a place where we can be of ourself and yet connect, share, and commune with others? And these are really powerful skills that we need to learn. We need to have refinement on them because not through any ill intent. But again, previous generations, these are things that were not necessarily regarded as important as just survival. And what we're finding now with a far more sophisticated culture, that in some ways life is easier and in some ways life's more challenging. Life's more nuanced, more complex, and we're learning to foster the elements of us that help us to be more, live in a way that we would recognize as our authentic way of being, that we're able to live a life where we're not responding from wounds, but rather being able to hold this place of functionality. And as a result, we're going to have far more productive exchanges with others. And this is just as powerful in business as it is in our personal lives. So we're looking to really make sure that we're doing what we can to really come from those spaces. In particularly, most importantly, or where it will be most challenging, is when our stresses are triggered, and we're mindful if we're doing healing and recovery work, we're far less likely to be triggered back into age regression, wounds and victim, but rather we're able now to, because we're fostering a place within ourselves where we're able to hold and be stable and grounded and connected and boundaried and valued, but we can also see the value in another, their inherent value. And so we can disagree, but we can do that respectfully, and we're able to stay connected with one another. And these things are aspirational. These things are, we're part of the embracing of this space is that we're able to be okay with our imperfections, that we're not swinging in the polarity and going, I have to have everything spot on right. I have to have everything absolutely perfect, because again, that's a setup for failure. But rather we're able to embrace the times when, we're good enough. We're doing well enough. That means that we've still got space for improvement if needs be, but we're not doing that at the cost of our connectedness to our own inherent value. And for some people, one of the things that can help sometimes with connecting into that sense of inherent value, it's kind of like, you know, the sun is always shining, but it's sometimes the clouds are so thick that you would think that the sun wasn't there at all. And yet, you know, once the clouds move, you see that the sun is always there. And it's a similar kind of element when we associate with the clouds and we forget that the sun is always there and always shining. And so one of the ways in which, because I've certainly met some stunningly capable and you know, wonderful and intelligent people who still fundamentally see themselves as valueless and worthless, and how much that drives their decision-making process and actually gets in the way of them having really wonderful life experiences, because they at some level don't believe that they're truly worthy. And one of the things that can sometimes be helpful is to think about the times in our life when we did feel genuinely connected to our values. So for some of us, that might have been just, you know, micro moments. But those moments where we really felt safe, acknowledged, seen, valued, and cherished just for who we were, either we might have been on our own and experiencing a beautiful transcendent moment with nature, or we may have been with a beloved family pet, or we may have been with family or friends, a trusted, affirming group of people. But these moments in our life where we did have a sense of that beingness, where we did have a felt sense of that. And that gives us a reference for what it feels like and what we're aiming to be, you know, having more and more of an experience of. And then we're just, you know, again, it's like any kind of habit-forming process. We're setting an intention to more and more operate from that particular space and notice how that begins to inform our thinking and feeling, and as a result, inform our, you know, the way our actions, how we're going to begin to adjust slightly how we show up in the world. And then we're holding space for ourselves, we're taking on the feedback and adjusting accordingly. But we're looking to kind of set that anchor point in place, that grounding point, and how do I come more from this space and learn how to operate and interact from that. And I'm okay that in this space of fostering, I'm going to have moments of mystification where I'm not quite sure what moderacy looks like in this kind of area. You know, if I'm someone who's oscillated, let's say, between extreme points of weight, you know, maybe one of the methods is to divide that in half and go, maybe that's what I need to aim for first, rather than, you know, I do these 20 kilo swings, then maybe what I look for is the midway point and start to aim for that. And so, you know, metaphorically, we're halving what we're kind of doing as we learn what moderacy might look for. Same with diets, or, you know, what would be the midpoint between this kind of Spartan-like diet that I'm taking that's massively maybe calorie reduced compared to those moments where I swing in the opposite and I'm, you know, devouring 6 cakes for breakfast. Where's somewhere in between those two? If I was to split the difference, you know, again, might be a method for helping people to foster moderacy. And then we're just exploring. We're exploring how the interactions work. We're seeing what kind of feedback we're getting. And we're making adjustments from that particular place. So I hope that this episode has given you a few things to think about. There are certainly mountains more that we can say about, you know, creating and embracing functional adult space within ourselves so that we're not coming from the raging adolescent or the wounded child or metaphorically some other element of ourselves, because, you know, these are operational metaphors, but they are useful. They're helpful for, you know, being a guide and a compass into how we can show up in our life and you know, have better connections, but not at the cost of self. You know, that's the idea. We can have a better connection with ourselves and we can have a better connection with our other, And that's only going to lead to more joyous experiences, more profitable experiences, more creative experiences, more uplifting and inspiring experiences. So I hope that this is, like I said, giving you some elements of functional adults to navigate towards, to continue to work on and foster. And of course, it's a progress. It's a process. It's a journey. There's always new things we're going to find out about ourselves. Sometimes things we really delight in, and sometimes the truth is hard to sit in. But we can find out. You know, we're uncovering the fantasy. We're surrendering the fantasy. We're embracing the truth of our experience and our upbringing, regardless of what it looked like. And we're able to love and stay connected with ourselves regardless. And, you know, again, that's elements of fostering and continuing to develop our psychological maturity, because I think it's so important, not only as individuals, but how this stems and flows out into our culture and our global community as a whole. You know, but it begins with us understanding more deeply parameters of functional relating, both to self and others. So that's today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, apologies for some of the somatic, unconscious kind of stuff that I was experiencing at the start of the episode, with the coughing and the voice constriction. But I'm glad that I was able to do the episode, and I'm deliberately going to put it out in its imperfect form, because it's again, like I said, part of this work for me is that I'm facing my shame. I'm facing the moments where I feel less than. So thanks for the opportunity to aid to my my journey and my recovery. Very grateful. And I, as I say, I really hope you found value in the episode yourself. So thank you again for listening. For those of you who've been along the, followed the show from the beginning, as always, so grateful to you. If you're just joining us, welcome. How you can support the program is go to iTunes, download, subscribe, and leave a review and a rating. 5-star would be nice. Not for any other reason than it really helps the spread and the awareness and the momentum of the program, because I really think that these ideas are so important for our adult re-education and support. And that's what it's about, is making it accessible for others to find. So if you can do that, that would be absolutely wonderful. Of course, also available on Stitcher, Podbean, and other podcast mediums. And then you can reach me at emergencetraining.com.au. I do private consultations, both in personal and business arenas, and then also in-house training on business communication for improving business culture. And I do lots of public trainings too around some of these elements and many more. So come check us out at emergencetraining.com.au. We'd be delighted to hear from you. If there's ideas that you want for future podcasts or for my YouTube series, then hey, fantastic. So thank you very much as always. Until the next episode, bye for now.